The age-related eye disease study was a large randomized controlled trial based in the United States. It aimed to investigate whether dietary supplementation with certain vitamins and minerals could slow or prevent the development of cataract and age-related macular degeneration. This study concluded in 2001, but 2006 saw the launch of a second trial, the Age-Related Eye Disease Study 2, or ARADS 2. The initial results were announced in May of this year. In this interview, Hugh Breakspear speaks to John Lawrenson, Professor of Clinical Optometry at City University, about ARADS 2 and discusses the implications of its findings for optometrists and patients.
John, can you begin by explaining what the initial age-related eye disease study was designed to investigate?
Well, the background to the original trial was the hypothesis that was mainly derived from animal studies that oxidative damage was likely to be involved in the pathogenesis of both cataract and age-related macular degeneration. So it seemed fairly logical that increasing the intake of antioxidant vitamins and minerals would be associated with a benefit. At the same time, epidemiological studies also demonstrated an association between the intake of certain dietary antioxidants and the risk of developing these diseases. But the problem really was that this research evidence was sometimes inconsistent and inconclusive. But interestingly, despite the lack of convincing evidence for the effectiveness and safety of these multivitamin preparations, they were reasonably widely promoted for eye health. So it was therefore felt that a clinical trial was needed. And so the first ARADS trial was designed to evaluate the effect of a supplement that contained high doses of vitamin C and E, beta-carotene, which is a precursor of vitamin A, and zinc on the progression of AMD and cataract.
What sort of percentage reduction was there in the risk of things like visual loss and disease progression?
Well, the principal outcomes of the trial was that it really depended on the grade and classification of the AMD. So remember, the patients were classified as grade 1 through to grade 4. Looking at grade 1 and 2 that would be considered to be early AMD, there was no statistical difference in those patients at all, and the benefit was seen only in the intermediate and later stages of the disease. So, for example, a patient who had advanced age-related macular degeneration in one eye, who was at high risk of developing AMD in the second eye. So the risk reduction for progression to AMD for those groups, categories 3 and 4, was in the region of 25% for progression and 27% for visual loss.
What were the recommendations that came out of the first study?
The study authors recommended that patients with intermediate AMD or with advanced AMD in one eye should consider taking the ARADS formula, so the supplement that was found to be beneficial in the trial. And that was essentially the supplement that contained the antioxidants and zinc. But the recommendation was just for those patients that were in those categories that were much more likely to progress to advanced disease. They also issued a recommendation regarding beta-carotene because it was recognised at that time that supplements that contained high levels of beta-carotene, remember this is the vitamin A precursor, was associated with an increased prevalence of lung cancer in smokers and former smokers. So they issued a warning that smokers shouldn't be taking the formula that contained the beta-carotene. Interestingly, the outcomes for cataract, which we can really consider very quickly, there was no significant effect on progression of cataract or any vision outcome or rates of cataract surgery in relation to the ARADS formula. So once there was a good biologically plausible hypothesis that they would benefit patients with cataract, the trial really reported a largely negative result for cataract.
Why did they consider that a second study was needed?
Well, given the results of the first study and the benefit of the supplement in selected groups, the original formula became part of standard care for patients with established AMD that were at greater risk of progressing to advanced disease. But other research that was based partly on animal studies and epidemiological studies suggested that there could be a rationale for the addition of other nutrients to the original formula, so specifically lutein and zeaxanthin and or omega-3 fatty acids, and that if these were added to the original supplement, there might be a further reduction in progression to advanced disease. Now, the approach for the trial was slightly different in the AREDS2 trial in that they only considered patients with intermediate AMD or advanced AMD in one eye. So it was patients within their original categories 3 and 4. The randomization this time was into one of four interventions, a placebo group again, a supplement that contained both lutein and zeaxanthin in a 5-to-1 ratio, a supplement containing omega-3 fatty acids, or another that contained a combination of the two. But it's important to remember that given the fact that the AREDS formula, the original one from the trial, was now considered to be standard care, all of the patients took the original formula. Now, what they were also interested in, given the safety concerns of a number of the formula components, specifically the high levels of beta-carotene, as we discussed before, and the levels of zinc, they did a further randomization, which really looked at removing the beta-carotene or reducing the levels of zinc to see if that would impact on the efficacy of the formulation.
So the placebo group wasn't a true placebo group.
It wasn't exactly. So it was against a baseline of the AREDS1 formula. So in the context of the comparison between the omega-3 and the lutein, you know, the placebo group were taking essentially a sugar pill. So it was different from the placebo group in the original trial that was taking no supplement at all.
So what are the results from the AREDS2 trial shown us so far?
Well, the primary analysis was really looking at whether there is an additional benefit of the adding of these extra components, the lutein, the zeaxanthin, and the omega-3 fatty acids. And that essentially produced a negative result. So the primary analysis found that no further benefit occurred after adding the lutein and zeaxanthin to the original formula. But interestingly, lowering the dose of zinc and eliminating the beta-carotene maintained the efficacy. So the conclusion was that those could be safely removed. Now, the lack of treatment effect was probably surprising to the study authors. And then they undertook a more of an exploratory secondary analysis of the data. And that really led to quite a number of interesting findings. So although that analysis was not pre-specified, it suggested that lutein and zeaxanthin may in fact play a role if given in the absence of beta-carotene. So the secondary analysis involved a comparison of the original AREDS formula without the beta-carotene against the formula that contained lutein and zeaxanthin. And they demonstrated an effect there. So there was approximately a 10% reduction in risk of progression in that particular group. Now, because they'd looked at dietary intake of lutein and zeaxanthin in the trial, really through food frequency questionnaires, they were able to identify patients that had low and high levels of dietary intake of lutein and zeaxanthin. And they found that the benefit of that addition to the supplement was much more pronounced in those patients that had lower dietary levels of lutein and zeaxanthin, and that approached a 20% reduction in risk. So it seems that it may well be that the patients who don't consume very much lutein and zeaxanthin in their diet might get an additional benefit from a lutein and zeaxanthin supplement coupled with the antioxidant vitamins that were in the original formulation.
So the beta-carotene is affecting the absorption of the lutein and the zeaxanthin?
That was the theory. So the idea is that when you give a number of carotenoids together, that structurally they're very similar molecules. So the addition of the beta carotene seems to influence the absorption of the lutein and zeaxanthin in the serum. So the idea is that if you take the beta carotene away, you get higher serum levels, which in turn may reflect higher levels of these macular carotenoids in the retina.
What other considerations should an optometrist be aware of before suggesting supplements?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, although these preparations are unlicensed and freely available to patients, as we discussed previously, the high-dose vitamins, remember these contain levels of antioxidants significantly higher than the recommended daily allowance. And there are certainly issues for patients with particular comorbidities, for example, patients with diabetes or heart problems. So it's important that, you know, as optometrists do, take a medical history before considering supplement recommendations and maybe, you know, not recommending supplements in that particular group of patients.
Do you think that a daily multivitamin or just a healthy diet and lifestyle would give similar results to this specific formulation that they've come up with?
Well, the levels of antioxidants in the AREDS formulations would be difficult to achieve by diet alone, given the high levels of vitamin C and E and high levels of the mineral zinc in the formulation, difficult to achieve with a normal diet.
What groups of patients do you think are suitable for this type of treatment?
Well, patient selection is really critical. There's currently no evidence for the use of any nutritional supplement for the primary prevention of AMD, so preventing the disease in those that don't have the disease at the outset, even those that have a number of additional risk factors. There's also no evidence from the trials for the benefit of supplements in the management of patients with early AMD. So it's important to remember that the patients selected, particularly for the AREDS2 trial, included only those patients with AMD categories 3 and 4. And these categories would be defined by extensive intermediate drusen, one or more larger drusen in one or both eyes. These would be regarded as patients having intermediate AMD. Or those patients that have advanced AMD in one eye and therefore at risk of developing advanced AMD in the second eye. And so the evidence for these patients suggests that an AREDS type supplement should be recommended. And it's very likely that there will be a change in the original formulation in that very soon, I'm sure, commercially available preparations will be available, whereby the beta carotene is removed and that's been replaced by lutein and zeaxanthin.
Would there be an argument for issuing this to groups that are at risk rather than actually have AMD at the present?
I think that doesn't necessarily follow the trial evidence, because I think it's sometimes difficult with trials, because if you recruited patients that have early AMD, the risk of progression to developing advanced disease is relatively low. And even though these trials may be run for 5 years, the number of conversions to advanced disease in that group are very small. It's sometimes difficult to prove a benefit. So no trial so far really has shown a benefit in patients with either early AMD or those at risk.
To sum up, what recommendations should a community optometrist use when dealing with patients who come into these categories?
Well, I think all patients should be encouraged to adopt a healthy lifestyle, a combination of lifestyle behaviours that includes a healthy diet, physical activity and not smoking is associated with a markedly lower prevalence of AMD. In terms of supplements, I think those patients that are at high risk of progressing to advanced AMD, so as we discussed earlier, those with intermediate AMD or those with advanced AMD in one eye, the evidence would really suggest that supplementation with antioxidants is potentially beneficial. But it's also important to remember in making recommendations to look at the levels and the dose of the nutrients within the formulation. Certainly there are a number of commercially available preparations that do contain the key ingredients, but at significantly lower levels than that which is included in the trial. So really, as a result of the AREDS2 trial, the recommendation in terms of supplementation in these patients really should include a supplement that contains 500 milligrams of vitamin C, 400 international units of vitamin E, 80 milligrams of zinc, 2 milligrams of copper, 10 milligrams of lutein, and 2 milligrams of zeaxanthin. So that's essentially the formulation. And the addition of the lutein and zeaxanthin was really based on that secondary analysis we discussed before. And it's likely, therefore, that the greatest benefits of the addition of these macular carotenoids would occur in those that had the lowest dietary intakes of these carotenoids.
Thank you, John and Hugh.